Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome to the impromptu NCAA alternate universe selection show. I am Tristan Jung, and I'm joined by Garrett Lash. We are broadcasting from different parts of the country, but you know, that's in the spirit of this bracket that we've got here, this completely and utterly real bracket that we've determined of
so real
68 mid-major teams. Garrett, how are you doing? How excited are you for this very real
thing? Oh my gosh. My entire existence has been building up to this, and I feel like it's culminating in this very, as you said, very realistic, seated quite honestly in terms of geography and conference wise, using the metrics as best we could. And we put together a real bracket that could produce some intriguing matchups and seeds for all of our fun-loving fans out there. So we're excited.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just to lead off, obviously, given what's going on, it's very depressing to have to do this. But, you know, we got to make do. We got to try to figure out some things to, like, keep us entertained, right? And, I mean, this is the golden age of simulated brackets, you know? What's your take on, like, do you enjoy, like, looking at these video game simulations? I kind of, like, don't super enjoy, like, oh, this is what would have happened if BYU played Vermont or Kansas played UNC in this game, you know? I'm not sure how I feel about it.
I don't know. I'm still kind of, I mean, obviously this is new to all of us. So, I mean, in the absence of sports, I find it a little bit entertaining. Like, I kind of like Joe Lunardi's simulations, although they're a little bit cheesy. Like yesterday, he, in the Sweet 16 matchup, the fake Sweet 16 matchup between Kentucky and Duke, he had a reverse Leitner for Kentucky. So, like, obviously quite scripted and, you know. But that being said, I don't know if I like the video game simulations as much as these, you know, very metrics driven simulations. I almost feel like it seems a little bit more real. I don't know. I mean, nothing will replace a tournament, and
that's true.
So it's all just for entertainment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want entertainment for a mid-major basketball fan, you can't go much better than this bracket that we've got here. We've got all the teams, all 68 teams, 68 mid-major teams, stretching from I don't know how many I think it's 26 conferences, 25 conferences.
Yeah, 25 conferences, minus the Power Five, the American, and the Big East. That's my what I've come to understand is the definition of a mid-major.
Yeah, so for the uninitiated, there's an article online describing this project. Basically, we kicked out, the blog daddy himself kicked out all of the useless power conference teams that nobody cares about anyway. So Duke and Kansas, and we've replaced them with teams that people really do care about, like Valpo, and New Mexico, and these mid-major teams that would obviously draw as many fans if we played in the tournament, and honestly would be more fun for readers of this website. So
would be. Yep. Okay, sorry, I stepped on you there, but
it's all good.
You're getting used to this whole podcast thing. Yeah, I don't know what I was gonna say. You want to re-kick us off?
Yeah. So we've gotten rid of all of the major conference teams, and now we're rolling with something that mid-major fans can, you know, really get behind, because the season's not going to happen. We're tired of having all these. I mean, if you're going to do a bracket simulation, a fake bracket simulation, you might as well do one that has the most ridiculous teams and best teams that you want to see. So that's what we're doing. And obviously no one wants to see Duke win your sim bracket for the 50th time or whatever. So
garbage.
I feel like this is it's garbage. Nobody cares about that. Why do we need to give Coach K a simulated victory when he already has?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. So we have teams that, you know, you don't get to see often on the stage, like Bowling Green hasn't made it. Although I guess they could have made it this year, but they haven't made it in like 40 years. I don't know when was the last time Ball State made the tournament? I can't, I know BU, Georgia Southern. So, and we're letting in all the teams that missed out on their conference tournaments and wouldn't have made it anyway. So now everyone gets a chance. It's very democratic.
Okay. Should we start off with the number one overall seed and reveal their region?
Introducing the number one seed, Garrett.
No surprise here, or maybe a little bit of surprise. I don't know. But Gonzaga is the number one overall seed. Real quick, how we did this was me and Tristan essentially used the metrics to the best of our ability. We came up with our own seeds and then had a little bit of discussion and just kind of meshed our two seed lines together to create this bracket, which to be honest, wouldn't surprise me if that's all the NCAA selection committee does anyway. But yeah, so Gonzaga, the number one overall seed. Actually, I think I'm going to go through the top four overall seeds. So the Zags, number two, in the Midwest region, Dayton, of course, with Obi Toppin, who somehow still has eligibility despite declaring for the NBA draft. In the South region. Oh yeah, Gonzaga is in the West region, by the way. So forgot to mention that. Gonzaga, Dayton, South region, SDSU had an amazing season, only two losses all year. And in the East region, also from the West Coast Conference, the BYU Cougars, who were a trendy pick to go far in the real tournament, from what I've been reading from the experts using the metrics. They shoot the three ball really well, blah, blah, blah. So they earned the number one seed in the East. So yeah, there's your number one seeds. Tristan, this was a pretty unanimous choice by us.
Yeah, I don't think you could have gone any other way with Gonzaga 31-2. Pretty unassailable there. Dayton, I think you could have made a case they could have been number one overall as well, but you know, I mean, it's between the two of them, I think Gonzaga would probably be a slight favorite, so I think that Gonzaga wins out. And then San Diego State, of course, just steamrolling through the Mountain West except for that last game, and then BYU spend most of the year ranked, and they're really good, so it's hard to argue that those weren't the four best mid-major teams in some order, for sure. Yeah.
All right. Let's, yeah, I mean, this, I think, is pretty straightforward. And so I guess I'll just start with the West region. So the number two seed in this bracket will be Utah State. Seeded them there primarily because I think it was kind of close between St. Mary's and Utah State as that next, that like fifth overall. And, I think I didn't want to put St. Mary's and Gonzaga in the same region. So that's primarily why Utah State got placed in the West. Gonzaga's first round matchup will be against the winner of the play-in game between North Carolina Central and Robert Morris out of the MEAC, I think, and the Northeast Conference. Both had pretty good seasons. North Carolina State's on a little bit of a run right now. Utah State, I'm doing this all out of order, but going to the 8-9 matchup, they'll face the winner of Bradley and Eastern Washington. These games would be played in Spokane. So, if Eastern Washington were able to pull off that tiny upset, they would have Eastern Washington versus Gonzaga in Spokane, which I think would be amazing.
Yeah, battle for the state.
You know, I know Eastern Washington's, I don't think they're right in Spokane, but I mean, they're close enough. So that'd be, I think that'd be pretty impressive if they could pull off that kind of upset. Down to the 4-13 matchup. VCU is the 4 seed. They'll be playing their games in St. Louis against Pepperdine, who, VCU had a slightly disappointing season. I think a lot of people thought that they would be an at-large, or they were competing to be an at-large for sure, and definitely the favorite in the Atlantic 10 coming into the season. And Pepperdine, of course, I, to be frank, didn't watch a whole lot of them during the season, but they had an amazing game against St. Mary's in the West Coast Conference the other night, not that long ago.
Yeah. I like some of the matchups, and I like New Mexico State versus Wright State. That's a good West area matchup. And then
that's the 5-12.
Yeah, the 5-12. And then we also have North Texas versus Texas State in the 6-11 in Omaha. Funny that game is not in Texas itself, but that's a good.
Right,
that's a good one. I think we'll just go through this whole
sure,
side.
Sure. Let's do it.
Then we got St. Louis and New Mexico as the St. Louis is the 3 seed. So I guess I'll just go through the order. So Utah State 2, St. Louis 3, VCU 4, New Mexico State 5, North Texas 6, San Francisco 7, and then a bunch of teams that, you know, and then teams we filled in at the end that we can go through intermittently. Yeah, you got UC Irvine in here. Of course, they had a great year in the Big West. And
they're the 10 seed. They're playing San Francisco out in Spokane as well. The winner playing the winner of Utah State, Indiana State. Yeah, UC Irvine has been the class of the West Coast, the Big West for some time. San Francisco had a good year as well. They have my favorite name in sports, Jimbo Lull. Like that's a pretty cool name in my opinion. Yeah, I think a team that maybe had a disappointing season, New Mexico, they find their way into this side of the bracket. They are the 14 seed against St. Louis. And they, you know, coming out of the Mountain West, they've had some pretty good teams in the past. They just barely snuck into the field. And then Indiana State, 15. I think that's all the teams.
Yeah. So if you want to pick a, I guess we can pick each. We can go Sweet 16, right? Is that too much?
No, yeah. I've been kind of down on VCU. I like New Mexico State to advance. I like Gonzaga and Utah State. If I had to pick like a dark horse, I would pick like North Texas or something like that, or Pepperdine seems to be pretty hot.
I think North Texas over SLU isn't the worst upset pick. All right, so moving on to the Midwestern bracket, we've got Dayton as the 1 seed. They don't get to host their game. It's actually in Cleveland, so rip to the Dayton first four. And I think they were, I don't think they were set to host, but they would have had something going on there. So
right
in the great city of Cleveland, Ohio, known for having the river set fire in the middle of town. So we got
fantastic.
We have Dayton versus, we have the one seed Dayton, and then we've got the four seed Vermont, UNC Greensboro as well. You can also look at, we're gonna post this this bracket up
right
with the episode, so feel free to follow along. And
yeah,
so we got Dayton against Dayton, Vermont, UNC Greensboro. I think Loyola and Colorado State are in this too, right?
Yeah. So we got a potential. Yeah, Dayton, Vermont. Dayton's one, Vermont four, UNC Greensboro five, and then Loyola Chicago at eight. So, if Dayton gets past their first round matchup of Siena and Prairie View, which is two other automatic qualifiers, I think it'll be really interesting to see them. They'd have to, you know, they were kind of like a Cinderella, maybe not a Cinderella, but they kind of had a season out of nowhere. And I think it'd be cool if they had a 1-8 matchup against another team that recently had a season out of nowhere, which is Loyola Chicago. They'd be playing, and Loyola Chicago is playing Colorado State in their opening game. So I kind of had that in mind there. A team that you and I disagreed upon. We had a handful of teams that we were several seed lines off, and that was Davidson. You know, I just thought they kind of really struggled this year.
That's true. Yeah, I mean they had a decent run, I think, in the middle of the season, but then just like really didn't live up to their expectation. I think they were, I don't know if they were ranked, but they were like one of our mid-major darlings. I think all the, like, KenPom really still likes them for some reason, even though they went 16-14. And yeah, who knows what would have happened in the A-10 tournament had it happened. So I guess that's right, where my reasoning was. Yeah.
Yeah. So Davidson, as the sixth seed, I had them much lower. You had them a little higher. They will be facing probably a pretty underseeded Nevada team at 11.
Right.
It just that would just seem to be the most logical place to fit them. Once I was getting down to that seeding and stuff, I think we talked about that one as well. But yeah, if they could get past Nevada, they'd be playing University of Northern Iowa in St. Louis, so that'd be pretty interesting. Northern Iowa, of course, had amazing season. AJ Green, the fantastic Bengals receiver, somehow gained some more eligibility and became a mid-major college basketball player. So hats off to him. They get Santa Clara in the first round, who had a hot start to the season.
Undefeated start to the season, right?
They did, I believe. And I was reading some stuff that they might get a sneak and, you know, be the fourth best team in the West Coast Conference, which, to be honest, for the no name, I don't want to say the no names, but that's what people seem to be gunning for behind Gonzaga, St. Mary's, and BYU these days. But yeah, so they got the 14 seed. They'll be playing Northern Iowa in the first round. I think we're missing some. We got, yeah, Vermont and UNC Greensboro, as you mentioned. Vermont the four, Greensboro the five. Vermont getting Northern Kentucky, who's making their like eighth straight appearance, it seems like. They're doing really well in the horizon. Greensboro getting the 12. Colgate, who inexplicably failed in their conference final. They were like prohibitive favorites before the season. That could be interesting. These games are all all those games are basically happening in Cleveland.
Right. And then we got teams? Hopefully South Dakota State, my mortal enemies, get completely shellacked by St. Mary's and right. Sacramento. Because we got St. Mary's, South Dakota State, and Boise, Kent State in Sacramento. So
that'll be good. Yeah. St. Mary's, Boise State. That's kind of I think that could be pretty interesting. Kind of like, I guess the Mountain West, maybe. It kind of depends on your perception of the Mountain West versus the West Coast Conference. To me, the West Coast Conference is extremely top heavy, whereas the Mountain West kind of maybe doesn't have the star power, but has a bunch of like pretty good teams. So I think Boise State could hang in there.
Yeah. So I guess picks for this bracket. I mean, I think I have to pick Dayton just to sort of roll through this.
Dayton's there for sure.
Overall, I think Nevada could make a run. They had a lot of them pick, a lot of people picked them to go far in the Mountain West tournament, with the, which they actually didn't do, but still a good squad. Boise State as well. I think the most likely team to get upset, or I guess Northern Iowa could somewhat do things. I think Vermont is actually probably the most, in this very real tournament and in the other tournament, I don't know if Vermont was quite as good this year. So
I was going to say Northern Kentucky had a really strong season as well. I agree with you with the Nevada, because the 11 seem to do really well. They don't have to face the number one until the last game. So if they could sneak past an underperforming Dayton, get past UNI, they could be right there and upset away from, you know, really being like, it shouldn't be too hard.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Okay.
Yeah. Then we got the South bracket with San Diego State headlining here. A lot of three West Coast teams have to, or West-ish teams have to travel around here, but, you know, got a good Southern contingent. So this is also in Sacramento, so we'll have San Diego State, Pacific, North Dakota State. San Diego State versus Wofford and Penn, and then Pacific and North Dakota State in the 8-9. Wofford or Penn. So we got another interesting bracket here. ETSU is the number two seed. You can argue they were maybe one of the best teams. I think probably at least the top five mid-major team. I mean, you can argue
they were really strong. And I wanted to put them in the South. I mean, it's going to be tough for San Diego State if they get to that 1-2 matchup in the regional final. They're starting off in Greensboro, which is right there, and the regional is in Houston. Is that where it is?
Yes.
Okay, and there's real quick, for those of you who are curious, when you see this online, why all the first four games are in the 16 slot, it's because it's the last four at-large bids and the last four automatic bids, and the last four at-large bids so happen to be all the way down there because a lot of the auto bids were able to rise up higher in the seedings. Just want to point that out. But moving on. Did we get ETSU? Yeah, ETSU is playing Georgia State, the 215, the 710 in Greensboro, Louisiana Tech, and Little Rock. Little Rock had a pretty surprising season out of the Sun Belt, which was supposed to be won by South Alabama. I even wrote my first article on them, and they let me down, and they didn't even make it into this bracket. Sorry to spoil it, but they're the next four out. They didn't even make the first four out. Anyway, Little Rock and Louisiana Tech, that should be a fun one. Moving down into Tampa now, three seeds, Stephen F. Austin. I have been really high on them all year. Everyone, it seems to be, thinks that they weren't really that good, but I mean, 28-3 beat Duke. Yeah, I'm all about it.
We missed out on another classic Stephen F. Austin run. I'm very sad about that.
I know. Man, their win against West Virginia a few years ago, like, that got me on the SFA bandwagon. Like, I understand that their fans are kind of like fierce. I'm gonna just say that they're aggressive, but I mean, they're a great like underdog team to pick for in the tournament every year. Anyway, they get Ball State 314. And then the 6-11 matchup, Belmont, the 6, Bowling Green, the 11. Bowling Green's one that you and I both, you know, their metrics were a little bit down, but we both seeded them kind of in this range.
I had Bowling Green higher. Yeah, I had Bowling Green higher just because they were liked on KenPom, and I like how they're very – all the MAC teams play very fast, entertaining style, so I just, like, got to load up on Bowling Green stock. Yeah, I mean, I picked them to win the their conference tournament, and I thought they were pretty good. But, you know, they had some – I think, like, down the stretch, they had some not great performances. So
they were kind of rocking it for a while. It was them and Akron, and then I think they beat Akron, and then all of a sudden they kind of...
Yeah, they lost 3 straight at the end of the year, and it wasn't that good. So, I mean, maybe could be a deep run in this tournament, and they play Belmont in the first round. Yeah, so, and Belmont, I mean, they were great in that. You know, honestly, one of the last great college basketball games of the year was that Belmont Murray State final. That
backdoor play.
The backdoor play. So Belmont coming in off that. So that's a good game. And then we also have Akron here. Akron, similar. I feel like Akron and Bowling Green are sort of similar. Both MAC teams, both played. But, you know, in this universe, everything's hunky dory.
Right. Eligibility is being granted in this universe. All the seniors are getting an extra year of eligibility. No, screw that. Everyone's getting an extra year. Screw that. Yeah. Real NCAA.
Wait, is Akron's coach is John Gross? Is that true? Yeah, it is. Wow. He used to coach Illinois. That's why. seen him a bunch of times. Yep. So then to fill out this bracket, we got Winthrop and against Akron, and then Valpo, every mid-major madness is Rider's least favorite team against Furman, of course, great SoCon team. Every year they end up beating somebody they end up with some brutality and beat.
Yeah. They beat Villanova last year. They beat somebody else this year. They smacked Loyola Chicago or something. I can't remember, but yeah,
did they beat LSU this year? I think they beat LSU.
Did they beat LSU? I thought somebody got. I thought they might have got waxed by LSU. I could be wrong.
Let me look this up.
ETSU beat LSU.
Right. They beat LSU last year, I want to say. They took Auburn to overtime and almost beat them, and then they actually beat ETSU. So, in conference play, once
they almost beat Auburn. If they had beaten Auburn, they could really be. They were kind of on the fringe of barely getting discussed for an at-large, but the Auburn win really could have put them in an at-large discussion because they had a fantastic year in the SoCon.
Yeah, sorry, they lost to LSU last year. LSU's big mid-major loss this year was to they lost to VCU, didn't they? Yeah, they lost.
They
to
did,
VCU. And Utah Tennessee. State and East Tennessee State. Wow, they just really had the trifecta there.
They're really helping out the top.
That's a major conference team. No one cares about them. So I think that just about wraps it up on the South.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll head to the East.
Furman getting the 4 seed, by the way. I don't know if we said the seed numbers. Furman 4.
Right. Yeah.
Akron 5. Winthrop 12. Valpo 13. For those of you keeping track at home. All right. Now, East Conference. East Region. Sorry. Let's go.
Let's go. Yeah, so we got BYU as the 1 seed. So these games are also in Omaha. The Omaha region is split between the two. So we got BYU against Chattanooga and
Northeastern.
What's that? Again, and NE. What is NE?
Wow, Northeastern.
This is a good radio. Northeastern. Okay, thank you. and then we got Northern Colorado against UNLV. I love Northern Colorado. And a lot of great teams here. So obviously BYU would probably be the favorite, but then we got some good teams some pretty solid teams and other very morally dubious teams in this bracket.
Yeah, we got The number two in the East, we have Richmond. A lot of brackets had them kind of maybe like the last spot in before the outbreak. So they get the two. They stay in Greensboro. They get Murray State. That should be, I don't know, Murray State. I don't care how like bad they are. Like for some reason, they just always seem to be able to hang in there with big boys. Anyway, I think that could be a little bit of a challenge for Richmond to start, but then Hofstra, the 7, Harvard, the 10. That was another one where you and I, I was pretty high on Harvard. You were much less high on them. But yeah, they kind of wiggled into the 10 slot there in the Greensboro region, in a Greensboro game against Hofstra.
Yep. Albany. Just a
lot of Albany in this bracket.
A lot of Albany teams. So we have, to start off, we have Liberty, which for some Everyone's reason favorite. Has decided to open classes during, I don't even know what to say. That's just terrible. I have no.
Bill Walton's favorite team, Liberty.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so ridiculous. I mean, I don't understand what Falwell thinks. Is he like trying to like piss off the libs by killing a bunch of his own students? Like, I don't necessarily get.
I think he thinks he's just gonna make everyone like build the antibodies and get stronger. But like, okay. It's not like an airtight. I don't know, and it's not like we're not susceptible to it either. Like, I don't know. There's so much wrong with
exactly
with his. With his policy, so people complaining about it. Anyway, enough politics. They're the 3 seed playing in Albany. Their basketball team obviously had good results on the court this year. There was a time when a lot of people thought they would go undefeated. They dropped some games along the way, so they probably would not have gotten an at-large in the end. They get St. Bonaventure in upstate New York. So a little bit of a tough matchup there to start. The 6-11, also in Albany, Duquesne and Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky, of course, losing Bassett early on in the season. A 5-star prospect or whatever, probably NBA, going on to the NBA. So. They get the 11 seed after losing him and not doing so hot. Duquesne had a hot start to the year. They started like 10-0 or something, right? And then
they were undefeated for a while.
They had a good season. They had a very respectable season in the A-10. The 4 seed Yale getting Boston U in a very New England flair type game. And the 5 seed Rhode Island against 12 seed Georgia Southern to round out this bracket. Rhode Island, like a few weeks ago, didn't it seem like they were like right there? Like they could have been in the tournament discussion and then they just kind of plummeted at the end.
Right. Yeah. It was a tough, I mean, a lot of those A-10 teams, like VCU probably was in the tournament discussion until. Like the last 14 days of the season when they just completely imploded. So, I mean, doesn't matter now though. They got a great chance in this bracket. And who do you like coming out of the East here?
You know, I don't want to spoil the results, but we don't know yet. So I can't really spoil anything, but Northern Colorado seems to be liked by the metrics. And, you know, they might be on a route to upset BYU. BYU, I think, by some distance, is the least strong, the weakest number one seed. I like Duquesne as well, Rhode Island, as two teams that could potentially, two A-10 teams that could potentially fight their way out of this bracket. What about you?
I think this one is probably the most likely for the one seed to go down, just because I think Gonzaga, Dayton, and San Diego State are like probably the best. Although I think that Richmond is probably the worst of the two seeds too, so it sort of works out.
Right.
I mean, you can't pick Liberty, but I mean, I guess they're good enough at basketball so that you could theoretically see them doing well. I don't know. Rhode Island could get hot and do something, but I think that this one is probably, it's probably still BYU's to lose, although I mean, it's hard to think.
Yeah.
I think that San Diego State is probably more likely to lose to like East Tennessee or Stephen F. Austin than BYU is to Liberty or Richmond.
That's fair. Yeah. I think that these kind of middle teams, I mean, I like, if I had to pick one team to win, BYU, but I mean, if you're looking for like a lower seeded team to potentially come out, I like the URI Duquesne Hofstra Northern Colorado right in there. There might be a team that gets to the Elite Eight or something like that. So
right.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's the whole bracket. So I guess last thing to do is just say who you think is going to win, and then we can wrap up, I guess. So
yeah, I like Dayton. This is a phenomenal team all year. Their two losses are like to neutral court to
Kansas. They lost to and
Kansas and Colorado, I believe. So yeah, obviously no shame in that at all. They ran through the A-10. This is a team that the metrics, I think.
I like Dayton too, honestly, but I'll make the Gonzaga argument. Gonzaga has a pretty similar resume, also really well-liked on KenPom. They've only lost two games this year to BYU and Michigan. And, yeah, I think their biggest threat going into the Final Four, I mean, they're better than Utah State, I think, by a decent margin. I think, honestly, I think the way this is works out, they end up playing – they would end up having to play BYU again potentially in the Final Four.
Correct. And
that might be like their biggest challenge, honestly. So yeah, I think it sets up pretty well because Dayton has to go through the slightly harder, or Dayton gets to go through San Diego State, which I mean, I think San Diego State is good, but they're probably not quite on Dayton's level. Meanwhile, I think BYU, while they may not be as good metrically, like they've played Gonzaga enough times to
right
really do something,
and they have a phenomenally efficient offense. All right, one sleeper pick outside of the the general powers, I think, that you think could make it to the Final Four or beyond.
I you know, San Francisco has played Gonzaga close, like, I don't know how many times since I've been watching college basketball. So I love the Dons. They always seem to be underrated. I mean, they, despite the fact that they're a seven seed, I mean, they're pretty well ranked on the metrics. They went 22-12. So I think that if any team is finally going to, if they can finally beat Gonzaga at some point, and it would probably be in a simulation, but you know, there's always a chance. They're a great team. They had a great year from Jamari Buia, I think. Right, yeah, that's who he is. And some other players. I really like watching them this whole year. And, that would be my sleeper. Another, I guess, if I had to pick a double-digit seed, I think Bowling Green would probably be my pick, just as they are entertaining and can hit a lot of threes. So, yeah.
All right, I'll go with Furman. I think that the SoCon metrically has been pretty strong. They're like right outside, you know, the top 7-8 conferences, and you know, they're traditionally been one big league for a long time. And I think their games against I believe they beat Eastern Tennessee State earlier. I think I like Furman. I think they play in the weakest bracket, the South. And if I had to pick a double-digit seed, I think Nevada, coming out. They kind of had a late season resurgence. And, I think they're a little bit underseeded, but that's just kind of how the bracket worked out. So oopsie, and I think Nevada might be able to do it.
All right, yeah. So I think that's about it from us, everyone. So the way this is going to work is we're going to do a simulation of this and then just like post the results, I think, as we go along, so that
yeah. Not game by game, but like round by round, maybe even less frequently than that.
I think we'll do like half the bracket and then the other half like for the start, right. Which would be fine. And then the way this works is we don't have a fancy video game simulation, but we have some math, thanks to a nice spreadsheet that Garrett found. So
yeah, we're both Asian, so
we'll make up some dramatic buzzer beat. I mean, we'll report on some dramatic buzzer beaters and upsets
that really that happened in the alternate universe.
Right. So just stay tuned to that, and yeah, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yep. Have a great day.